Good morning, everyone. Brian told you all that we had conversations and we talked. He didn't tell you all about the deal that we made, that he would keep doing the Lord's Supper if I keep singing. And now that I'm up here about to do the message, I think, Brian, you had to do double duty. Got to pick up some slack. You know, first of all, before I get started, let me go to God in prayer so I can get some extra help here. Oh, Lord, I come before you at this time, and as I am about to bring forth this message that you have entrusted me with, I pray that it will strengthen our lives, open our hearts and minds, mine as well as everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me, that we all get the understanding which you will have us to have. Help me, Lord, to bring this message out, to speak plainly and clearly. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You know how when you read a book, you open up the first part of the book and in the front of it is a section called a preface. Well, I'm going to give you a little preface about this lesson. I thought I was about at the end of this lesson, putting it together anyway, and a few people asked me about, what's your title? What's going to be the title for your lesson? And I told them, which my title is, Can we understand the Bible? Can we understand the Bible alike? Yes, that is the title of it. Can we understand the Bible alike? And I told him that, and then I was presented with a question. Who is the we? Is it we at Edge here, or is it we as in all Christians? And that question kind of threw me for a minute because I never thought about who the we was. I just assumed we was all of us or anybody that picked up a Bible and tried to read it to understand God's word and wanted to know the truth. But I had second thoughts about that, and then I was led to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. And it tells that God gave the gospel to Paul, and he wrote it so that the Gentiles would be able to understand it. The gospel being a mystery in other ages and not being known to man, to the sons of man, but now it was revealed to Paul so he could bring it to the Gentiles, and let the Jews and the Gentiles know that they both had equal right to the promises of Christ. And that sounded pretty plain. But then I came across a scripture found in Acts chapter 8 from verses 26 to 40. And it tells about the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading about Isaiah. And he was reading and trying to understand. And the Spirit led Philip to come to him and ask him, do you understand what you're reading? And so he told him, how could I unless someone guide me? So Philip got in his chariot with him and he went on and started preaching to him and started explaining the scriptures to him. And the outcome was that the eunuch was convicted from the Holy Spirit and was baptized and saved. And we also know this is being the first step to the plan of salvation. You must hear the word in order to believe. If you can't hear it, you can't believe. We can read, and we may have questions as to what does the scripture actually mean. So therefore, we have to listen for the word to be spoken to us and explained to us. Which brings me to this part of my lesson. is can we understand the Bible like? Now, it's possible for two people to understand anything and not understand. I mean, it is impossible for two people to understand anything and not understand it alike. The example I wanted to use in that aspect is we take a little baby or two babies, and one male, one female. You can't get too much opposite than that, one male, one female. Newborn babies, and when they're crying, you put a bottle in their mouth, and they'll learn that bottle is nourishment, it's food, it's something for them, they like it. They get to the point where they can even hold the bottle itself. They have an understanding, each one of the babies have an understanding that when they see that bottle, that's food. I don't care what language you put it in, they both understand that that's food. And we understand facts alike. We understand commands alike. It's possible to misunderstand a fact or a command, but our difference arises from our misunderstanding and not our understanding. Now, what you might say, well, what do you mean by that? Another example. I'm standing before you now, and if nobody has to move, but if I was to raise my hands, most people would take that as a command to stand. Even if you didn't understand what that meant, if you see other people getting up, you say, oh, he wants to stand up, so you'll stand up. Now, I could be standing before you singing a song. Matter of fact, we have a song that we usually sing on bended knee. Now, part of that first verse goes, on bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you as I pledge my love anew. Now, if I get to that part of the song and I'm singing and I raise my hands the same way I do if I was just standing up here not saying a word, some may misinterpret it that it's a time to stand. And some continue to sit and keep singing. The misunderstanding will come from our misunderstanding of what is done at that particular time or what I'm doing. The understanding of seeing me raise my hand, knowing that I would like for you all to stand, that much is understood. But when I'm singing a song and I do the same thing, it may be a misunderstanding at that particular time. It's not because we don't know what it means or we have a misunderstanding of what it means. It's because it's at that particular time. Now, there's a divine and inspired rule running through the Bible that should be our guide in religious matters. I would like to call attention to that in a few passages. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 29, it reads, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And we may do all the words of this law. Let me read that one more time. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What that means is the will of God had been revealed in the law. If the revelation were acted upon, the people will receive God's great blessing. To ignore the express commands of God would be foolish. The same way in today's time, the Christian has God's revealed will in the Bible. To ignore that And chasing after things God has left secret would also be foolish. It would be a happy day for all of us if we were to learn this principle. Secret things belong to God. Revealed things belong to us. But all too often we have many people that want to pry into the secret things or to speak where the Bible does not speak. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we find 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. This is what Paul told Timothy, who was his son in the gospel, to preach the word. Timothy was not at liberty to speculate the word of God, but to preach it. And we are not to preach our opinions, but to preach the word. It is better to spend more time preaching the word and not so much time preaching about the word. Now, like me in some instances, I can say I'm not a preacher, although I'm standing before you today trying to deliver this message. We have a great commission as Christians to go out and spread the gospel. We can go out and just stand on the corner and pass out flyers and never say a word. But again, we'll be right back to where we started it. If somebody read that flyer and say, well, what does this mean? Then you have to say something. When you speak, you're going to be saying something. When you speak, that's a form of preaching. When you invite someone to come to church, you are spreading the word. When you tell people about how Christ has changed your life, and that's supposed to be the best lesson that any of us could teach, because that's something we don't have to worry about. We can't get it wrong. We don't have to dress it up, water it down. We can just plainly tell somebody. And most of the time, if you're like me, you're telling people that already know you. They knew what you were like before you started going to church on a regular basis and changed your life. They may ask you, what happened to you? What did you do? And then you can tell them your story. But we do get a chance to spread the word. And that, we call that preaching. It doesn't mean you have to stand on the corner on a soapbox. It doesn't mean you have to get up in a pulpit. It doesn't mean you have to stand behind a podium. When you preach the best way you can and the most efficient way you can, is each day in the way in which you live. You don't have to go out and tell somebody, I'm a Christian, because they can see it in you. A person that drinks don't have to go out and tell somebody, I'm a drunk, because they're going to see it. A person that is worldly don't have to go out and tell nobody, I'm worldly, because they will see that in the way in which they carry themselves and how they speak and what they do. We as Christians are supposed to be known by the way we carry ourselves also. So that's our preaching in one sense. Now, our scripture comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. And it reads, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that is saying a whole lot, because not only does it say if any man, and by the way, that also covers women and young men and young women. But when we speak, that's one aspect of speaking as the oracles of God, which means God's word. When we minister, when we do an act of kindness, that also is an expression of God's word. We said in our class this morning that God is love. Now, how can we say God is love and we are followers of God and Christ, and we go out here and act like we don't know what the word love means? I mean, people take that as the way you act. And most times, I have found it an example that when you try to do the right thing, because we know that the devil is always setting traps for us, making us have trials and tribulations. Wherever you be, whether it be your neighbor, your coworker, a person in a grocery store, or somebody just walking on the street, because the devil comes in many forms. But you trying to live right and do the right thing, and what happens? The devil crosses your path. He tries to throw you off that path. He will do anything and everything he can to make you be upset or to lose that love that you have from God, from Christ. And as soon as you do, what we said, oh, I thought you was a Christian. Oh, I thought you was a church person. Oh, I thought you was somebody that's going to tell me about Christ, and you ain't no better than me. You do this, that, and the other. And then they have reason to ridicule and continue to put you down. That's why we have to do all things in order to glorify God. Whatever action we take, whatever we do, is to glorify God, because he gives us that ability. And we can do all things through him, but we can do nothing without him. Oh, yes, we can do something without him. We can act like the devil. We can't act like the devil and call ourselves Christians, too. And one other thing. When we overly concern ourselves with the things that are not clearly revealed to us, we fail to heed the warning given in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God should take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. To add unto the words of God means that the plagues that are written therein will be added unto us. And to take away from God's book means that our part will be taken out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written. Yes, we have to keep in mind this one rule. And that rule is, secret things belong to God. Revealed things belong to us. Speak where the Bible speaks. And speak as the oracles of God. That is most important. And we're going to look at some examples of how that can happen, or how they can be misplaced and not happen. I'm sorry. If we look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 4. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, and I will now turn aside and see this great sight from the bush, for the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he answered and said, "Here I am." Now, can we understand the Bible like, yes, if we apply this rule of the secret things belong to God, revealed things belong to us. First, did the angel of the Lord appear to Moses in a burning bush? Yes. We can answer that truthfully because it was revealed. But then a question may come up. What kind of bush was it? That wasn't revealed. We don't know what kind of bush it was. Some may say it was a pine. Some may say it was cedar. Some may say anything. But that's not important. We can speak where the Bible does not speak. But we can only speak where the Bible does speak. We can only answer that the angel of the Lord spoke to Moses through that bush. If we look at another example, in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we see that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? Yes. How do we know that? Because it was revealed that he came to Jesus by night. Someone else may ask, why did he come under the cover of darkness? One might say he was a coward and ashamed to come in daylight. Another might say that he was very busy and did not have time to come by day. Someone else might say that he wanted to have the personal touch, so he came by night to avoid the multitudes which crowded Jesus by day. Why would we have so many different answers to that question? Because that is not important. What is revealed is that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Can we understand the Bible alike? Only when we stay on the strict path of what the Bible says, but all too easily, and where does it come from? As I just stated a few minutes ago, when you try to do right, the devil is always lurking. If you give him a chance, he will put questions and doubts along with the snares, hidden snares, and pitfalls. The first thing the devil said to Eve was, "Did God really say?" Trying to sow doubt. When you know something, no one can take it away from you or change it. But when you are questioning, you have grounds to stand on when you rely on what the Word says. Like Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Don't speculate and don't say things that the Bible doesn't say. And also, so easily, we debate over trivial things. We may have good intentions, but it becomes a trivial thing. When that trivial thing causes a rift or a divide, then we have disrupted the body of Christ. As long as we believe in Christ and stay on His word, we are a body of Christ that is together, that is whole. When we bad, then we are not strong. If you take a closer look at things, we have ideas, we have desires, and we have a multitude of opportunity to serve Christ, serve God, to help each other, uplift each other. But when we allow the devil to creep in for our personal gain, an example could be, which right now is not happening, but just say, for example, our sanctuary needed new paint. We all would agree, oh yeah, we need to get someone to paint, and we need a paint job really bad. We agree on that. We are a body together. What color should we paint it? We have diversity. Well, my favorite color is this. And my favorite color is that. Most everyone has a favorite color. And some will agree on some colors. But here's where the devil steps in. Because the devil is going to inspire someone to say, if they pick my color, then I can say, yeah, I helped decide what color it was going to be to elevate yourself. Not knowing and not even thinking about it. It happens because we're human. We would like to feel like, well, I was, you know, just trying to do a good deed. But the devil steps in at every opportunity he can. And that's why we have to stay strict. Now, it really wouldn't matter what color it would be as long as the sanctuary got repainted. Because that was what we all would agree on. Yes, it needed the paint job. But when we let little things cause a rift and it cause a disruption, then we have separated as a body. And you'd be surprised, and I'm sure some of you know, there have been splits in churches and people have left one church to go to another church because of what somebody said, what somebody did. I haven't come to this church for years. I've been sitting in this seat. I come here this Sunday, somebody else sitting in my seat. What they doing in my seat? We've been doing this for years. Now all of a sudden this person come and they want to change things. Why do they think they can change things? We are supposed to be on a path to heaven. We're supposed to be unified as the body of Christ. If you're not working to uplift and build the body, then you are working to tear down and separate. Simple as that. When we deviate from the word, then we're not in a part of the body. One more application. How should people be baptized? We can admit that immersion is baptism. We can agree that a burial in water preceded by the proper necessities is baptism. And being buried means to be submerged underneath the water totally and lift it back up. Because when you are put down under the water, you are being buried. When you are coming up, when someone raises you up, you are being resurrected. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 5, verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, someone says that he believes sprinkling or pouring would do just as well as baptism. We don't agree with that. That causes a division. Because that is not baptism. This is a substitute for baptism. And nowhere in the Bible can you find any authority to sprinkle or to pour water on anyone and call it baptism. Another example is who should be baptized. We can agree that a penitent believer is the proper subject for baptism. Someone that has repented for their sins, they have heard the gospel, they realize that it was the truth and they feel repentative of their sinful life. They believe what they heard. They repent and they confess and they want to be baptized. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That is a person that is repentant and seeking to change their life. Someone else comes along and says, we can baptize babies. How does a baby hear the word and repent of their sins? They can't do it because they don't know. I mean, a baby in arms, they can't even speak. So how can they repent? How can they confess? But some people believe that they can do this. But this is not a doctrine of Christ. Can we understand the Bible alike? Yes, we can, when we apply what the Bible says to our life, and we live by it. Now, that does not mean that we have to be so starched and stiff that we can't bend, and we don't understand the word, that we, if the word don't say we can't do this, we can't do it. The word does not say that we would be in this building. In this time frame in which we live, this is how we worship together in this building. We call that a church. In biblical times, the saints of Christ gathered in their homes, they gathered at the seashore, they gathered wherever they could find that they could be safe at and not be persecuted. But it's so convenient to come to a building in the summer and have it nice and air-conditioned. In the winter, it's nice and warm. We have lights on. I would like to someone to show me in the scripture where it says about electricity and, you know, where we should get it from. But we have it. Where does it say in the Bible about a nice restroom where we can go to relieve ourselves when we need to? That's not in the Bible. So does that mean we ain't supposed to have it? As we were taught in Sunday school this morning, we have to use common sense. The Lord has blessed us with the ability to do certain things. And it's for the glory of God. By the grace of God, we have lights. By the grace of God, we have a restroom. By the grace of God, we have a building. By the grace of God, we have each other. We come together, we are a body. When we stop speaking where the Bible speaks, we concentrate on what we want instead of what the Word of God says, then our body starts to break apart. We are no longer Christians. We are people that's tearing down the body. Can we understand the Bible alike? Yes, if we only speak what the Bible speaks. Remember, we have the commission to speak. As we just read in Mark, if any man speaks, and again I said it also covers women, young men and young women, let him speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God refers to the words of God. When we quote scripture and explain in detail or make known or present, we actually are speaking the oracles of God. This is my lesson for today. Can we understand the Bible alike? I say yes. If we concentrate on speaking where the Bible speaks. If you have heard the word and you believe what you have heard and you want to repent of your sins, you must do that. And you must confess your sins. You follow the steps of salvation, and after which you will be baptized. And the most important thing is to live by that which you claim that you believe. We can't do all that, follow the steps of salvation, and then still go out here and live like the world. We don't have to do something so spectacular like setting off fireworks to let anybody know that you are a Christian. The way in which you live and the way in which you carry yourself each day will tell the story. When the devil crosses your path, it will tell the story. I present this lesson to you by the grace of God. Thank you for your attention.